up a seat at the bar to join us for another episode of McAnally's Pubcast, a podcast exploring the fun and fantastical mind of Jim Butcher's The Dresden Files series. Host Tanzen, Maggie, and me bring you another round of literary analysis on this immense, immersive, and colorful environment inhabited by Harry Dresden, the world's only licensed private investigator and professional wizard. Join an active and engaged community of new and die-hard dedicated fans focused on the fabulous themes, theories, characters, context, lore, and more. This is McAnally's Dresden Files Pubcast by Free Flow Rambling. Conjure by it at your own risk.
Welcome to the McAnally's Pubcast, brought to you by Free Flow Rambling. This is episode 18.20. It's a Catacomb Blitz, where we are covering the novel White Knight. My name is Tanzen, and I'm joined by Maggie.
Hello, hello.
And Jess.
Affable. Describes someone who is friendly and easy to talk to. Can also describe something such as someone's personality that is characterized by ease and friendliness.
Ramirez.
Your mother is so affable.
Chapter 38. The duel begins. Madrigal is defeated, but in a last-ditch move, Vito opens a passage to the Never Never and summons an army of ghouls.
And the vamp at the back, as a matter of fact, his eyes are as gray as the sky. And the girl in the corner, let no one ignore, because she thinks she's the passionate one.
Oh, yeah.
It was like lightning. Everybody was frightening, and the music was soothing, and they all started grooving.
Yeah.
And the king at the back said, "Everyone attack," and it turned into a catacomb blitz. And Justine in the corner said, "Boy, I want to warn you, it'll turn into a catacomb blitz."
Yeah,
it was electric, so frantically hectic, and the band started leaving because they all stopped breathing.
It's
a catacomb blitz.
All the lyrics are so good with it. And the girl in the corner is everyone's mourner. She could kill you with a wink of her eye.
That's Madeline.
We figured out the origin of the song.
If Dangerous Liaisons is their book, this is their theme song.
Living with the things you did to me.
Are you ready, Harry?
Carlos?
Lara? All right, fellas!
It just writes itself.
It's so good.
Oh, perfect.
No reverse.
Boy, I want to warn ya. There's a ghoul in the corner.
We find out that Vito is very fast.
Foosh. Fucker.
But not as fast as...
Thought! Yes, it is a nice little... Thank
and
God.
And we finally find out what the magical looking glove is.
Yeah, I do like Ramirez's magic.
The green goo of go away?
Yeah. His own goo gone is just...
Yeah.
But it is. I love how we do get these little snippets. Because... we do see, you know, Morgan and Lucio, but we don't always get a lot of their fighting and thing. And I do like it when he does take the time to describe and just, again, like you say, how peoples are different to each other, right? You're looking at me through your old zombie voodoo doll.
All I could see was the zombie doll.
Oh. That's all you're going to see. It will not be swayed. How his is more entropy and water-based magic thingy, and he just, yeah.
Deconstruct it.
Ugh. That's
deconstruction.
Right.
Demolition magic. Which you'd think.
Yeah.
Harry'd be all over.
Harry meets with the straight,
whack.
You know, immovable force. He just, puts up a solid wall of crap and just lets everything smush against it. Whereas,
Scary, though, he's faster than Laura and Thomas. And they're supposedly good.
Laura once took the ear off his hair. The skin off his ear, standing in stilettos on gravel. And they're quick. And Thomas is no slouch. But so presumably Vittorio is a little bit older than, say, just Laura.
Natural born talent.
Or at least
or more
as
well-fed.
That's true. The Wraiths do believe in discretion.
Either. I was going to say.
Maybe indulgence.
The Wraiths themselves aren't necessarily, like you say, fight fighters. Again, if he's more into, like, the fear and trauma camp, he might be more inflicting on... Who knows?
He's doesn't like, matter. I'm feeling a little peckish. Boo.
Yeah.
But really, the race are not underfed. They're just, they choose quality over quantity.
Yeah, they're just not gluttonous. They try to, yes, that having, what's the word?
Restraint?
Restraint is valued and whatever in itself. But yes, fast as he is, he's not faster than thought. So thank God you're a wizard and can just bam, bam, bam at your fingertips.
Bow, 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 bow. Bow, bow,
bow. So yeah, so then a bunch of stuff happens and then some
okay.
things.
Yeah,
and they have big weapons.
Briefly, they're throwing magic around and, you know, physics, bullets, blah, blah. It's cool. But again, as we were just saying in the last one, he's got no subtlety. He's like, I call up Hellfire. I'm like, you're lucky Ramirez doesn't apparently know anything about it because someone on the senior council would immediately be like, oh,
where's
what the
Seth
fuck?
Hellfire all the time?
Yeah, exactly. Sulfur? Mm, I feel like that
Harry's
would be a
like,
dead
I'm
giveaway.
A bachelor. It's just eggs, okay?
But I think that would be a dead giveaway if someone on the senior council was around.
Potentially, or yeah, whatever. I mean, you almost wouldn't think it would have to be on the senior council, but...
But I can see where Ramirez people. Hasn't run into Hellfire before. He might not know the signs.
Maybe, but just given what it is...
It's like, sulfur. It's hell. Everyone knows
exactly,
that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just from that basis.
Okay, so in the laws, the wizard laws...
Thou shalt not kill.
Yeah.
With magic.
Yeah.
You can kill.
and you don't call on outsiders, but like...
Thou shalt not open the outer gates.
Are people from... Are demons from hell considered...
No, they are of our reality. They're shitty, they're demons,
same like the Fae are part of the reality. They're not the outsiders.
So technically, he can... Like, is there a law against him using Hellfire? Like,
no, it's just suspicious. It's just a bad... Yes. Yes, it's not against. It's just...
Not
yes.
Like
you have been meddling with dark things to get it.
Yeah. Not the normal wizard purview.
You know, like fallen angels. Gee, Harry, what are you doing mucking around with fallen angels?
If he did take up a coin, would the wizard council care? Like, because it's not really technically breaking one of their rules if he...
They would because
with,
they are still like sworn
you're possessed.
Enemies of
they
the,
would stop yeah. inviting you to council meetings.
Yes.
But you know, would they go straight for beheading? Like, or they'd just be like, oh, that sucks.
You're out of the club, but you're not breaking the rules.
I was gonna say it isn't, because they're just gonna straight up behead any Denarian they come across anyways. And I don't think it becomes at that point whether it's allowed, like whether you've crossed, they're just like, you're now evil, we're gonna kill you. So it doesn't matter whether you're evil and we're gonna kill you because you broke our laws, or you're evil and we're gonna kill you because you're now an evil thing. I don't think that really that there's no demarcation line for that. I just think no matter what. But again, like you say, with this kind of a thing, yeah, they're going to be more like you're out of the club because you are
going to... Sometimes they seem like they care, but sometimes they really don't.
Well, yeah, but again, you're going to take all their... Same thing where they don't want any of them to get turned into vampires and stuff
this
like
is
that.
The problem
like,
with...
It's just really bad if wizards end up in the hands of other things
they're fucking
they don't
powerful
want
as shit.
And know their secrets and their...
Being human is the only thing holding them back.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Take
so
that
whether
part away,
or not
yeah.
that falls under any of the actual laws, it still is just basically a no-go.
I don't think it's necessarily even murder on sight, the same way they don't just murder vampires on sight, more or less. Like, they are technically people to be reasoned or made deals with or have a conversation, but if you're in a fight with them, yeah, they don't have the same protections as, like, they've given to humans who are more or less defenseless, and that's why the council's saying you can't just fucking hose down humans. We're here to make you guys.
But see, this is what I was thinking about, too, like, in the past part where he's talking
You're just
about.
Always thinking, aren't you?
I am. It's the bane of my existence. But what he's saying, like, they're under our protection, so the wizards, even though they're not the Seelie and all, but it makes a good point, because on the one hand, yes, Harry frequently walks around and says, I can walk up and slaughter any vampire I come across, because on the basis of it being a vampire and being evil and being, you know, attacking mortals and things
yes.
like that. But at the same time, there are the Ancelia Accords and et cetera, which do, I mean, I understand, sure. Nation to nation, yeah, you're dealing with a lot more. You need, obviously, Harry's not going in and just being like, well, today I'm going to wipe out the Reds, and tomorrow I'm going to wipe out the Whites, and tomorrow...
Harry's not a good example, but...
Harry's not a good example. But, you know, but again, on a one-on-one basis is exactly right. That's now what he's enabled Murphy and SI. You walk down an alley and there's a troll or a vamp, boom, you can, there's nothing that says you can't just wipe that guy out because he's, so it does make for a very interesting line of when can you and can't you.
It's just the White Council's rules that say you can't kill humans.
Yes.
That's it. That's not Accords. That's just the White Council saying, we are here to defend the humans so the rest of you don't go fucking crazy. And obviously they don't do a perfect job because there's just so much happening. But they are supposed to be that line that exists so that the humans aren't just a free-for-all, okay?
Well, yeah, and especially
against the Accords is a totally separate thing just between the supernatural, between people who are actually signatories in the Accords. So if the trolls want to then bring it up to, you know, the Accords and be like, hey, you killed our guy, now we want to fight or ask for a Werrigold or whatever, they could do that.
I guess
for the most part, they let everyone just be their 1v1. If a troll goes and kills Harry, the White Council isn't going to be like, hey, that's our guy. They're going to be like, Harry was a fucking idiot walking down an alley, got trolled by a coal.
Yeah.
When you make it a nation versus nation fight, that's when they all get involved. But for the most part, yeah, the skirmish is 1v1. It's like, no one gives a fuck. Go be fucking stupid-ass mothers. Supernatural bullshit idiots in your own time.
Yes, but that's what I mean. It's just that, yeah, it's kind of interesting that we did exactly. I mean, I guess it's a little bit like, there's a difference
between. It's gotta be genocide for it to count.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I mean, even in our own rules of the world, yes, there's a difference between, you know, like murder and crime happening in your city and a fucking war where, you know, like, yes, obviously that should nobody's like, oh, well, somebody went down an alley and got killed by a drug dealer and, oh, it's very sad and yes, we'll work it out. But again, it's not going to like war because of, but yeah, it's still kind of just the way, I guess because it's global, but it's not, you know, in the same supernatural senses. It's just kind of funny every once in a while when you think about, yeah, the specifics of like, well, you can't just go around killing everybody.
All that to say, using hellfire
if you
seems
kill somebody
risky.
Important.
And furthermore, forget Ramirez. What if the vampires recognize hellfire? What if you've just given Laura some information? Because she starts smelling sulfur now. She's like, where'd you pick that up, Harry? Like,
yeah, they've been around a lot longer.
I just think that it's just, like, really blatant.
And I feel like it is
because... They've got a scribe in the corner that's like,
there's a scribe in the corner that said, man, I'm going to
want... shit with Cowell when he pulled it up then because it was like, life or death, use as much as you have right now, you got to survive. And he also was a little bit... more unaware, you know, he kind of knew that he had hellfire and he kind of pinned it on, but he wasn't like,
he was still kind of like
the Sheila situation was
she hadn't made her self presence known. So he's like, I seem to have picked up hellfire,
But like now you fully understand, you're actually like, he says his exact wording here is something to the effect of, I like reached for hellfire, I grabbed hellfire.
Yes.
Like, he's like, it's much more purposeful and now aware.
Before it was just happening, but now that he acknowledged it, now he can use it by choice. It is absolutely. And I mean, like, I don't know, maybe this is kind of like everything, like maybe this is like my, I don't know, Harry, tell Ramirez you figured out a translation spell, you know, maybe he's just like, you can just figure out hellfire and maybe you can just adapt that into things without necessarily being possessed by a demonic
what
spirit.
Like, it's hard, I just do it.
Right, like, but yes, because I feel like, wasn't it like Cowell or Corpse Taker or somebody like that who like noticed it? Like, I feel like it was one of them commented on, like, oh, I don't either. I could be mad. I feel like it was almost like when he confronted Corpse Taker at Box or something like that, that she was like, ooh, hellfire, interesting. And he was like, wait, what? So, yeah, I feel like it is noticeable and that other people could and would. I mean, again, especially because, like you say, it is such a noticeable smell in that I'm like,
I doubt it.
It's so subtle that Harry's the only one picking it up in his, you know, I was like, no, I don't. It is a good question, and you're right. It is yet one more thing that
uses it, and he's like,
Harry's like, what?
I had boiled eggs. Shut up.
Yeah, no. So he's like, I'm a bachelor. Just fucking everything in my fridge is rotten. Okay, I just everything smells like rotten eggs. I don't know.
I think the one other thing in there, like so much action going on. Like, but I liked the mirror wall that he throws up.
I know.
I just had visions. You know how like cats when they like sort of see a mirror and aren't expecting it and just attack the
That's what
I totally thought of when Vito,
right,
he's like, fuck you all.
It's kind of a cool, I mean, a whole little like house of mirrors thing in the middle of, especially when you've got someone, because he makes the point like he's got the throwing knives and he's like, yeah, sure, in the movies they always hit, in real life not a great like actual like defensive murdery weapon, right? Mm-hmm. Yet, when you're a vampire with the skills and precision, I'm like, you can.
Same in the last book or two when Thomas was driving like a fucking crazy person. Harry's like, whatever, vampire reflexes, drive however you want.
Exactly.
The conversation they had before this fight began, too, when Madrigal was like, we're not fighting him. He's a fucking thug. Like, this is what he does, okay? He took fucking
out Ortega.
Yeah, he took out fucking Ortega, right? And Vito's like, you started this bitch, you want to go? Like, I do appreciate that furthering of, like, infamous.
You know? Infamous, yes. Yes, this is what he is.
But it's just that, you know, again, like, reputation growing more and more. And, I mean, essentially, yeah, you come into this. Yeah, right away, okay?
Well, and again, that was the whole,
holy
yeah.
Holy fuck.
Once again, as Vito said, you should have fucking thought about that, then you fucking moron. Why were you, like,
but I'm just saying, reading this fight, I mean, yeah, this is a thug. Like, holy
this
fuck.
Is, yes, he's a brawler once and again. But yeah, I like that, because he's like, yeah, he took out, he couldn't even go up against, like, Ortega. And he's like, okay, but that was a battle of, like, wills. We get to bring our own weapons and do whatever the fuck we want. I'm like,
yeah, that's
small
totally
consolation,
yeah.
But okay.
But still, I like that it's, because, you know, normally you see Harry and he's just like, oh yeah, Hendrix the thug. And I'm like, yeah, it's everyone else, bro. You're Hendrix.
You are, yeah, right. When you're up against the others, that's, yeah, you yeah. are the...
Again, more of this, oh, all the vampires move to the sides because they don't want to, like, get caught in the fray. And then they're literally just like, bah, 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 bah. I'm like, there's got to be dead vampires in this room now. Like, you guys are throwing things everywhere.
I was going to say there's got to be.
Bullets and knives are bouncing off everything.
Well, even when he says they line up the thralls, and he's like, essentially it was like, you know, like the hockey wall around, like, an arena yeah. kind of a thing. And I'm like, yeah, but these guys are all just kneeling. I mean, unless you have, like, some super tall guys in the second row. You got, like, 2 feet, 3 feet of people, like, you know what I mean? I'm like, sure, it's double, like, you got a little bit, like you say, for when it happens, when somebody gets, like, thrown into the tangle of bodies. But essentially, I'm like, well, all the vampires are, like, sitting on the floor, squatting behind the thrall. Like, they're fucking all standing around watching. You got a couple people kneeling in front. I'm like, this is bullshit protection. Just go over the fucking heads.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like that's not stopping a lot of anything, but... That's just me. I don't know. I've never had an all-out brawl with, like, human shield, so I don't know. Maybe I'm envisioning this all wrong.
But finally, Ramirez brings the sword into play. It's such a shame that Harry doesn't have one, because what a useful fucking magical item.
No.
It's just so
time
fucking good.
Time and time again.
And to come.
If only Harry had gotten a fucking sword.
You can't make your lead character too strong.
Well, obviously.
And it'd be funny, too, watching Harry walk around with all his magic items if he actually could use them all. It's just like 7 swords down his head.
It's like discarding them as they run out.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
yeah.
Like,
I don't know. People keep handing these to me.
Just keep handing them.
There was some
stupid... That's his punishment for, like, saving Lucio's life by, like, shooting her in the back of the head, right?
There was some stupid children's movie that we were watching, and, yeah, like, basically this guy's been trying to pull Excalibur out...
Excalibur?
Was trying to pull Excalibur out of the stone. Could never do it. And then the random girl walks by and pulls out. She's like, wow, this is cool. And then immediately puts it back in stone. He's like, no way!
Yeah. All right, yeah.
Harry's just like, wow, cool sword, but I already have 12, so fuck it. Yeah. Throw this one in a lake.
Pretty much, right? But I gotta wonder, though. So Madrigal is only, like, average height or whatever. Would you want a fucking 7-foot long spear? Like, I mean, sure, your reach is great for, but I also feel like that would be really
awkward. I'm
not
trained in spear fighting. I don't know whether a short or long rod is more acceptable for the fighting.
That seemed pretty fantastic choreographed martial arts movies.
Yeah,
but
horse,
they're
the lance
usually
needs to be
not,
long,
like,
so you can stab them before they get to the horse.
Yeah. I get, like you say, the reach, but I mean, 7 feet, like, again, like, even Harry's is, like, 6 feet tall, so he's a little taller. He's got a big staff. But can you imagine, if you had something that was, like, over a foot over your head, would you want to wield that? Or would you prefer something that was more your height or slightly shorter than you to actually
maneuver? Well, if I'm pole vaulting,
right?
I do want it to be bigger than me.
Well,
maybe
I guess
useful.
He needs it
because
he ends up having a pole vault out of this trap that I think I'm assuming from the way it's described.
I've
it's
seen
like
enough
pole
movies
vaulting.
To know that if he gets thrown down the deeps, that thing will catch him on either side.
That's what I know when Ramirez makes a little thing, because at first I was wondering if he did exactly, like, put it across, but then he's like, no, he, like, planted it and jumps. I think he's more of like a pole vault thing. But the main thing is less about his stupid ginormous spear, which, again, just does not seem the best thing for this type of a fight with what... I don't know, maybe wizards
if
he's
that's
going
what you're
for
trained
reach,
in.
I guess, whatever.
That's what he chose.
But he's counting more on his magical gauntlet wristy wrap thingies, which are kind of cool and are kind of a neat thing.
And, I mean, maybe if you have poison on the end of it, because I could see them being like, this just has to be long and have poison on the tip.
And just scratch him in your... Yeah, I don't know. But, yeah, it turns out, that he's warded by from all these magical blows by... So they still fuck him up. See, once again, Ramirez is cool stuff.
I did point out there's a snicker snack in there for you.
Ta-da! Yep.
The way he dies, though, like, eek!
Well, okay,
oh, no!
When they throw Vito into the crowd or whatever, and he starts rising from the masses, and everyone starts getting concerned that, oh, no,
wait,
he's going to win.
Wait a second.
Even that is just... again, like, you guys feel so safe right now. Like, oh, we have a deal. They'll just let us do this. It's crazy that everyone's just like, what's going to happen?
And half of them are laughing at Harry's joke, too, that they're still so unconcerned.
I'm bowling for vampires. She's like, don't laugh with me.
Yeah, but they're
not
just,
on my side.
Like you said, oh, it's not how they play the game unless they're really forced into it. But I was like, even like Duke Ortega, which again is Red Court, which is slightly different, but like they immediately cheated within like a second. Like they storm the field and these guys are just like, oh, teehee, what's going to happen? I'm like, wow, you guys really hate each other. Oh, no. Did they kill Scavis and Melvor today? Oh, no. Both heirs are dead. Aw, that's so sad.
Boy, we're just that much stronger again still. And we look like idiots. Yeah. Yeah, no, I know, right? Like you say, even without the hope, you know, it's just... Mm-hmm. There's always something up somebody's... There's something up everybody... Not something up somebody's sleeve. There's something up everybody's sleeve. And you just know
especially
that
exactly. Harry's. But I do like that sort of allusion to, you know, the Reaper. These people were not supposed to die anytime soon. So the fact that the Reaper is here.
I was going to say that, but
I have come to collect, which is, you give this sort of representation, personification to death, which why not? Everything else in the Dresden Files is real, you know, including God.
Yeah, exactly.
Why not have, death has essentially been like just
I was going to say, it is
waiting,
a fair point.
Waiting. Like, oh yeah, you get 100, you get 500, you get 1,000 years, but I'm still coming for you. And then tonight, it's kind of like the Reaper's like, whoa, early.
Yeah. Ooh. I can take a whole bunch.
Yeah, wow. You thought you had 500. You were wrong.
I'm going to take you and you and you.
Yeah, no, I like that too. Mm-hmm. It's really good like that. And the fact that like, it's like almost Harry's mantle is death in that instance too.
In a little bit, yeah. He is the Reaper himself. When he shows up, people die. That's why they're afraid of him.
Well, yeah. Big dumb thug, but effective big dumb thug.
Every time he shows up, we lose. What the fuck?
Yeah.
And worse than losing, most of us die. He said, Madrigal's one of the only to actually walk away from him.
Yes, that is true.
To fix that.
Just kidding.
Just kidding. You thought you were such hot shit, Madrigal.
Taken down by a super punch. I couldn't tell if it was a super punch or if he just, like, used the energy that was left in the ring.
See, and
hard
this
to tell.
Is the problem I have with that, because when his hand goes numb, he's like, oh, I can't use my ring. And I'm like... Well, and I mean, when he gets it back, he's like, oh, I aligned myself with. But I'm like, because again, like on the ship, I'm like, you didn't actually hit everybody. You said you released it. And I'm like, we have all had limbs.
Is it kinetic or is it not?
We have all had limbs go to sleep. Yeah. And I'm like, fine. My leg goes to sleep. I can still, I might not be graceful.
Yeah.
I might be thumping around like a peg leg or something, but I can still, right? So I'm like, if all you have to do is, he said it's from like your wrist and your hand. I'm like, you can still, exactly. I'm like, I don't understand why you can't flail your arm and let the energy go. Why? That has
limp
made...
spell from a limp hand is a limp spell.
I guess, but yes, whatever he has to, like, I guess he can't trigger his rings, but he can't feel
it's
them on
about
his
your
fingers.
Thought, okay,
he was still busy going, owie, owie, owie.
I don't know. I just found that a little bit. I was like, what the fuck do you mean you can't use those? Been like disabled now because.
He's also thinking, damn it, I lost another blasting rod. Fuck.
I don't know. He still might collect it. He just drops it in the moment, but I know that is one thing that irks me all the time, that he constantly like drops them and leaves them and breaks them and puts them. I mean, even breaking is like, okay, you had it. But yeah, for how many times he just like leaves it behind and
his
has
popcorn
to,
tin is at his door, front door.
Full
it's just
of, like
full of them.
Spare blood. Yeah. It's like all he does. And it's like, forget this, you know, we're trying to like build up like a buffer of episode. Harry's just now like, every time I have free time, I pop out another couple of, so I have like 20 of them ready to go.
Yeah.
But Vito's not done yet.
He's released himself from the cuddle puddle and
the cuddle puddle.
And decides to invent game show rules and uses one lifeline to call out, Master!
I'd like to phone a friend! Fucker. And that's what's even funnier, not funnier, but again, like this whole, so all of a sudden he's like, okay, I'm getting my ass kicked. My buddy's already done it. Not really my buddy. I'm probably not that sad that he's dead. But again, right, in this moment where you flip the script again, you turn the page, you got that one more ace in the hole up your sleeve, whatever, right? And then Harry's like, oh yeah, this is the trap that you could not just 5 minutes ago convey to Ramirez and be like, yes, you were right. Yes, there will be a trap coming. Yes, there is something else.
Just happens to be the Never Never and really ancient ghouls.
Yeah, these guys are not cool. I just love how he goes total like fanatic here, right? Like he's even doing like his little dancey, like, right? He's just like completely flip the switch here. He's like, I was all like, evil overlord, and I'm like, yeah, master.
So Vito and Madrigal are really truly just terrible at their job for White Court, being White Court vampires, because they both just like,
so that's the problem
can't
you get
bother
when, you,
being
when you get too power hungry, you lose the subtlety. Yeah, exactly.
But there you go. Harry always spells it out in the end.
Harry always spells it out in the end.
This is a trap.
This is a trap. And you see from Vittorio's thing here, too, that exactly, it's like you say, it's not even just to get Harry and the whole, because he wasn't expecting this ambush, so it's not like he had backup. At least Harry went into this knowing, I'm going to go into a horde of vampires I'm going to have, right? But yeah, Vittorio already had. He's just like, kill, not even just like, you know, kill the race, kill the Scavises, kill the, you know, he's like, kill them all, right? Like, again, he's just like, this is my play, this is my move. I guess, you know, don't know how to be subtle, don't know how to play the game, because I just want, like, fucking everybody to, so I can be, like, the only one, essentially, to, like, come out on top of all of this. Mm-hmm. It's like, thanks a lot, buddy. Nice to know whose team you're on.
Thank you to our Patreon subscribers for your generous support. It's people like you who help us to do what we do. If you're not yet a Patreon subscriber, sign up today and get a fuck ton of bonus content, kick-ass merch, behind-the-scenes outtakes, and more. Sign up today at www.patreon.com/freeflowrambling.
Chapter 39. Chaos erupts with the onslaught of ghouls. Harry opens up his own portal to the Never Never, and his contingency plan comes through.
Knew it, Ramirez. I knew it was a setup. Yes, yes, Ramirez, you were right. I don't know why Harry couldn't just say, yes, you're right.
But I had a setup too.
It is kind of cute when he's like, that's right, it is. And he's like, Ramirez gives him like the double take. He's like, that's what I realized. I was grinning like an idiot. You know, like, don't worry, Ramirez. I got something up my sleeves too.
Predictable.
I knew that they were going to double cross the double cross that we double crossed.
I was going to say this book feels a little bit more like a spy versus spy versus instead of a
straight up
the noir. It's not in, like,
yeah.
We already sort of lost the noir feel a long while ago. But this one definitely feels like covert missions.
Yeah, which is, again, White Court all the way hiding behind and all the, yeah. I mean, even like you say right from the start, it wasn't what we thought here. We thought it was just like, oh, we're going to save some, like, magical, not very strong people. And then you're like, no, they had a wolf in the den the whole time. And but Harry's like, you're not the only one that can open a way. Yeah. Nice counter. Nice, Harry, for you being not like, we always say that he's like one step ahead by the end of the book. He always got that twist. But it is still sometimes that, oh my God, last minute pull, right? Again, it's nice to have like the full planning ahead where he, not that he necessarily knew it was going to be the same thing that they pulled out, but he's like, we're walking into a big den here. I see shit going sideways. I am going to definitely make sure I got other people waiting to.
I'm a big fan of Thomas's Mad Max sort of outfit.
Right.
The first one to show up.
It's like a literary term. It's like scène à faire, like the scene must happen for the genre. The genre needs the scene to happen, because when people say like, oh, it's cliche, it's like, well, no, that's the purpose of this genre, okay? There has to be a murder, okay? It's not cliche. This genre requires there to be a murder. This genre requires there to be tragedy. This genre requires there
right.
to be a, you,
you
know,
can't have a murder mystery without a murder.
Obligatory scene.
Obligatory, yes. Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah, right?
Scène à faire, okay. I was not familiar with that one.
Yeah, that's a new one.
Nom de plume.
Today I learned scène à faire. That should have been the word of the day.
Well, it wasn't.
No, it was affable.
Yes. Which there is not a lot of affable moments in.
Not too many affable people here. Unless you're Harry, who makes deals with everyone. That's Ramirez's problem.
I think Ramirez, for the most part, is the most affable of all of them.
Yeah. Oh, come on. Lara's a delight.
As long as you agree with her, she'll go along with everything. Yeah, exactly.
And you'll go along with her.
She'll be very affable right to the end.
Yes. But yes, Thomas with his heavy biker like leathers with some actual chainmail thrown on, just for good measure. Like, just it's like Michael with his, you know, the what is the Lord provides, but charity. Kevlar stops.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Kevlar helps.
Yeah. They're no, they're even yeah, in the last one where Murphy was like, wait, and they're like, no, it doesn't stop Claus, and just, you gotta go a little bit country, a little bit rock and roll. You gotta have a little bit modern, you gotta have a little bit medieval. You just gotta make sure.
You can do it with style.
Our monsters are all like a mix of like modern and medieval, so.
Yep. So Thomas gives us even more of a hint about how scary these particular ghouls are, and we're not even to the part where you find out even later.
They're like prehistoric saber-tooth ghouls.
Yeah.
It's like, no thank you. What the? No. Wrong.
Right. And they don't care who they're attacking.
That's like, yeah.
It just goes bonkers.
This shit is so cool.
It's off the
Marcone, and you're millions of people. And
that too. Which is also good because Ramirez at this point has also caught a flying knife to the leg.
Well, yeah, that happened, yeah.
So not only does it just make any, you know, fighting and thing to be injured, but yeah, those are your getaway things.
To the point of Harry not telling anybody what the fuck he does and keeping all his cards to his chest, because Ramirez is just about ready to make a last stand. He's like, go, Harry, I'll watch you. He's like, shut the fuck up.
Well, it's great.
Get
also,
over
I think
yourself.
I came to this without backup, you idiot.
How Butcher unfolds it, too, because he doesn't say, like, out of the gate came Thomas and it's just like one person. Oh, and then this guy shows up. Oh, that you just forgot about this person. And oh, yeah, this one.
Thomas shows up and says, oh, the others are right behind. Look out. Like, oh, what? What's happening?
Others? What others?
It was a nice way to have, like, each. Just be, like when you sort of think that's who's it that's showing up.
Oh, he got Thomas because Thomas is a white court. Thomas knows where Thomas knows. No, Thomas brought friends too. It's Thomas and friends.
You think you're gonna beat the race today? But it does make me wonder because the Never Never is assigned to a
thoughts,
point
emotions.
On the moral world that is more emotional than
the moral world
physical.
Yes.
I said mortal.
Yes, that's what he said. If you're having...
However, that's, like, to be fair, like, okay, yeah, like, a block from a block might not be a block from the block in the Never Never, but a block from the Never Never inside the Never Never should still kind of be, like, 10 meters away. I just, like, it's confusing to me that, like, basically an entire army of ogres and an entire army of, like, Marcone's people weren't just staring at each other on the other side waiting for their entrance.
Hold.
Like, I kind of get it. It's kind of explained, but at the same time, I was like, I get those 2 points were, like, really far away, but at the same
Never
time...
The Never Never has that, like, funky, like, triangular wedge building So they were standing on this side, and they're all gonna come out at the point there, but they couldn't see each other because there's just this convenient structure.
Like quantum physics, that weird stretching, but it's still just so bizarre because like I do understand the concept of like how a point to a point isn't necessarily the same distance, but at the same time, the Never Never still has to have like some sort of map.
Well, and I don't think it really says how he's leveled up that he's got that kind of control that he can knows where to place them to start.
Well, that's the thing. I don't think that he had to know in the Never Never, because Thomas knows in the Never Never, supposedly. Thomas would just know.
I was going to say...
Oh, I guess. Okay.
Yeah, kind of like before when they came out on the street. He probably could have used... Yeah, he just has to open the way and
yeah,
make...
All, yeah, but Harry doesn't know what's on
Thomas
the side, but
probably,
Thomas does, yeah.
Thomas could very well have helped him, yeah, pinpoint...
I understood Harry
to
is,
get
like,
set up.
Yeah, he can open it, but he doesn't have precision yet.
Yeah.
But that sounds but pretty specific to...
Well, no, because Harry can open it wherever he is, and that's where it is in the Never Never. He doesn't choose what opens to the Never Never. He doesn't choose to, like, open the door and be at Arctis Tor. He specifically chose a way in where they dragged Molly, and that's how he knew it would be close to Arctis Tor, because that's why they chose to go through.
Well, no, they didn't know they were going to Arctis Tor. They just followed
Molly. No, but Harry followed. What I mean is that it was the other guys who chose the location because of Arctis Tor.
Yes.
Whatever, right? They're the ones who chose the location. Mm-hmm. Harry didn't choose that. He didn't say, like, oh, let's open it near Arctis Tor, right?
No,
Harry didn't
like,
know
this is
where
they
was opening
went
it
in
the Never
where,
Never. All he had to do was open it and make sure Thomas is on where he has
and
to be.
And that Thomas is the one
yeah, there is
with
no choosing.
To go.
Okay. You don't open the Never Never and decide if you're powerful enough where it's going to go. The Never Never only opens to where the Never Never opens.
No, but there is to a degree. There is to a degree because that's how they, like with the White Council's retreat and shit like that, there are certain...
But that's mapping the Never Never as it already is. It's not a one-to-one map with the mortal yeah. world, but it is a map. It's still plotting
then
the ways.
Why are you saying that you can't choose to open it where?
Okay, so if I can open a way into the Never Never right now, and I want to go to Never Never McDonald's, I can't just open it in your basement and be like, take me to the Never Never McDonald's. I have to go to a place in the mortal world that's going to open to the Never Never McDonald's.
Say.
I can't just say, like, I want this basement to now open to the Never Never McDonald's. I have to still go to a plottable place in the mortal world that will open to a Never Never McDonald's to get there. I can't just say.
Okay, it was just the way you say that Harry can. I'm like, but he can't.
It's not
that's
the TARDIS
point,
that, like,
Yes. It's not that wherever you open
it's
is the place you want
to
go.
Okay.
It's just
that's
that.
What I'm saying. But Thomas would know where to stand. My point is that if, let's say, Thomas knows in the Never Never where the deeps are, and Vito knows in the Never Never where the deeps are, how come those are two different spots 10 meters away?
Yes. No, I know that way that, yes, that's the whole plan of the Never Never is it messes with your mind that way that it's not as, you would think that, again, if they're both waiting to get into the same spot. But I think more to Tandon's question is that I think, again, with Harry's, like, yes and no, but we've seen him do this a couple of times now, open ways. And so I think it's totally plausible that he is getting better and is, like I say, in this particular, might have had Thomas's help to be, like, in this particular spot. But I don't think
he ever had an issue opening the Never Never. He had an issue with dealing with Leo when he opened the Never Never, so he didn't want to go to the Never Never.
Yes, and that is the other side.
He could have used the Never Never more, except for Leo was hunting him, so he's like, I don't go there, because
yes, and that is the other, is that in the last few...
I'm not necessarily saying that he's pulling it into different places. It's the knowing where to put his contingency plan, but you made the point already, Thomas would know. And I didn't think of that, of Thomas having that knowledge.
Yeah, it would be impressive if Harry had been able to map that beforehand with all his limited time. But I do think, Thomas cheated or Marcone's
Marcone's got.
Yeah, they're not terribly surprised at
Monarch
the,
and
right,
the whole
like
thing.
The supernatural points of what they're killing.
Well, yeah.
I was going to say.
Monarch is trained for that.
I was going to say half the battle right there is just knowing that it's a thing that exists, right?
You can pay prayer for it if you know.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's like if you know there's a train system, you can go look up the fucking schedule. It's just, exactly. I think there is a fair point to that, exactly, that Harry has sort of been, even if it's not as prevalent in the books, that I'm like, I totally buy him leveling up. Because like you say, a lot of it was just simply, it's like, I just fucking can't go there. But now since that has been banned, he's like, I just start dipping my toe and running around the Never Never again. It's a great shortcut.
So there's this one line in here that I really, it kind of to me felt like just how it was written, like a bit of an homage to Anne Rice's vampire series.
Is that when Lady Marlborough ripped the arm off a ghoul?
Her skin gone marble white and hard looking, which just totally describes like Queen Acacia from the Anne Rice's, because they're always described as marble consistency. The older they are, the more like marble they are.
Okay.
Oh, that's cool.
No, not that part, because I haven't read any of those. I literally was going to be, it's not the part where she like ripped his arm off and beat him to death with his own arm, but okay, not that part.
More to your living stone descriptions?
More here, yes. Close, recent, I don't know either.
But yes, blitz. Holy fuck. The cavern, what is the exact phrase here? The cavern explodes. The cavern had gone insane.
Yeah.
And it is, it's bonkers. Like, it was just like, my notes just start getting really like.
Definitely in that cave now.
Violence.
We got, obviously where Marcone goes Hendrix and that, but we got Murph and everything. So, I mean, again, it's these wonderful snip. I mean, again, you're talking about Murphy and her suspicions and Harry and links to that and the whole, but again, it's like in the mortal world context, Murphy is never going to, like, she's not cutting deals with Marcone's to like get out of like drug trafficking or like prostitution, or she's like, fuck you, I will. But again, they're like, oh, we got to go hack up some monsters. You know what I mean? She's like, that's fair game. Yeah. That's completely. If you're going to go hack monsters, I'm going to go hack monsters. I will go hack monsters with you together. Can you
put this to
monster.
The side for now?
But yeah, I just, right? Like, again, it just completely is on, like, even the supernatural world on that sense. Because Murphy, Murphy's like, I don't, like, how many times she gives Harry shit for.
She's got to have her morals and ethics. But yeah, when the supernatural comes to town, you do have to have a code for that as well.
Yeah, and exactly. And how, like, she will be like, all right, Marcone has access to people. And weapons, I will. If you're Marcone, so you're calling in as your backup, I'll go in with Marcone.
Well, and that's one of the impressive things is that Marcone didn't actually have to come through that portal either. He could have just sent all of the thugs without him.
And that's true. The other thing is that, yeah.
You didn't need to be there.
But yeah. Nothing happens without Mark Cohen.
When the stakes are high.
And he fucking proves himself. Like, he's acting as a general here. He knows what the fuck he's doing. And he's going to keep his men alive, right?
He can go into fray.
You get the impression that they actually do need him to be there, controlling everything.
When the scene where Harry is, like, just trying to outright convince him by pleading to his humanity, I was like, oh, there's the shipping moment. Like, where he's like, yes, fine. I was like, oh, and all of the stories.
I know deep down you're really good. You're
I just thought of you and I was like, yeah, here it is. This is like another moment.
There's what's that show? How I Met Your Mother?
Oh.
And Barney's song, Nothing Fits Me Like a Suit.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they go through the lyrics and all of his friends keep coming up with him with, you know, Ted's like, what would you say if you gave your suits away in return? You'd never grow old. And what would you pick? 1 million chicks or a 3-piece suit? And they all go through, like, trying to convince him, like, to give up a suit. And then you get to Lily's and she's like, what if world peace were within your reach? He's like, I'm pull your head out of your ass, Lily. Like, Lily's like, shut the fuck up about the world peace thing. What the fuck? Come to me with something real, okay?
You know that is not gonna give me, yeah.
But again, you're right. It's a little bit more to what I was saying before about Murphy looking like a bad cop on the outside if you don't know what's happening, right? Because she'll...
She's running around with Mark Cohen every other day.
But yeah, she actually does have a code. It's just the supernatural makes that... If you don't know the supernatural, it doesn't make sense. And again, yeah, if Mark Cohen has the manpower and you don't want to die today, he would have been great at Arctis Tor.
You're not people. You don't count my people rules. Like, yeah, no, exactly.
But more to that, again, you have to know the supernatural to get all of Murphy's point. But Murphy's point is she's like, I'm here to protect the people of Chicago. Outside of Chicago, it's not my jurisdiction. And even though the Deeps is actually happening outside of Chicago, it's, I guess, just close enough. But they're like on the outskirts. So technically, it's not Chicago proper.
Not Chicago proper. That doesn't mean it's Chicago.
But it's the warned thing.
He says you got to basically drive right outside of town to get to the villa.
If the white court is allowed to do what they want, then ultimately it will.
Yeah. Sure. But also, no. I'm just going to say Calgary city limits.
No, be quiet. I'm not. Not worth our time to talk about your dumb borders.
Sometimes the deeps aren't within.
They're not.
Okay.
He said it before.
Okay.
He's like, technically you have to leave Chicago to get to the Lord Wraith Mansion.
Okay.
Anyways. But Murphy's whole thing is that you have to be... She's here to protect the citizens of Chicago, okay? She doesn't give a fuck if you guys kill trolls or vampires. She's like, whatever. But as soon as they become citizens of Chicago, yeah. And so, yeah. So, at the beginning of this, when the king is like, hey, if the humans want to have a fucking say about you killing them, technically that's their right, okay? So, yes. Both Mark Cohen and Murphy showing up to be like, hey, we're the humans you're killing. Go fuck yourself. I'm like, it's still...
Right?
The freaks being like, motherfucker, we got something to say about it. You want to cheat? We want to cheat. And... I like it.
Good Here job. Comes the freaks and the kine.
Right? Mm-hmm. Right? Well, again, it's we didn't cheat until you cheated. Now we're just defending ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Oh, yeah. As soon as the Never Never was opened, it's like, all rules gone. Ding, ding,
hey,
ding.
Hey, Laura. Here we go. The new paint job.
It's got a couple of suggestions.
Yeah, the fact that the ghouls going crazy, but the fact that the vampires themselves are also losing control and going bonkers too is just like even more a layer.
Now you're suddenly under it. Like here you thought you were at home in your own little cozy thing, and now somebody just ripped a hole in your walls and invited a bunch of other ravenous beasts to come in and start chat. Yeah, so exactly. Now it's just a fucking free-for-all for everybody. And then on top of it, as everything's going, all of a sudden, Justine! So now, Thomas, again,
this is your first time getting to see her.
Your biggest asset and your biggest liability. Every time you fucking bring in Thomas, suddenly somebody's using Justine against him. The vampires are trying to take her off into their thing.
That's why you have a love interest in the story, okay?
Bait, right?
Yeah, we don't know at this point whether he knows that she's got some of her faculties back, even.
And it makes absolutely no fuck. Just the fact that Justine exists. Right. He will go through hell and high water just to, but yes. Once again, now she's in the mix of this horrible thing, and he sees that she is not yet pulled to safety and out of the way. And now forget everybody else on top of all of this. I have to go and save Justine. I have to make sure she's getting out of this meat grinder before we take off. And can I just also say I love Harry's reference to Clifford and Emily Elizabeth. Just as far as him throwing things in, I just love that he knows Clifford.
But okay,
he spent a lot of time around Michael and his kids now.
It's still a fucking... You know, the plea that he makes, you know, help me, John. I'm like, it's still deep because, yeah, like, you came into this and, I didn't agree to a war. I agreed to an extra. But I'm like, But again, yeah, you look at all this around you and Heather's being like, how the fuck do I just walk away from this now, right?
This was not what I envisioned playing out either. Where's all we got? Like, yeah, it wasn't supposed to devolve. I mean, I knew he'd do something, didn't know he'd do this.
Damn, Marcone, you're so good.
Yeah. But it is, I just love, yeah, exactly, the whole, like, I'm not going to appeal to this. I'm not going to, like, I know you don't give a shit of that. But I could. Well, those things are there.
And the fact that it, like, even though, like, so he did agree, and then he insists on being grouped with them.
Well, yeah. Well,
but this is, again, this comes down to, I think, those two nuggets of, one, Harry followed him out when he took the shroud. Mm-hmm. So he knows Marcone has a shred of, like, human decency and guilt and empathy. Also, they've done the soul gaze.
Yeah.
So, again, he's got concrete proof there that there is, like, a shred of humanity there somewhere.
Marcone has his own ethics, too. He made it very clear, like, no children and all sorts of things already have been established.
Yeah, so, again, Harry just knows just enough, right, exactly, of, like, how to... Yeah.
And also, this team is just, you know, the competent people are sticking together, right? Like, the fodder is with the fodder and the characters are with the characters.
Right, yeah, exactly.
And yes, poor Ramirez. Who are these people?
Who the fuck is
later?
Listen, like, Ramirez, you already don't like any of the people I've introduced you to today. Stop asking questions.
Once again, though, this is like in every movie where they like take 10 minutes to be like, I don't have time to explain to you what's going on, but we have to move now. I'm like, really, in the time it took you, you could have just said this is what. Once again, you could have been like, fucking mercenaries I hired to save us. Watch the gate. I'll be right back, you know. Oh, later. I'll tell you who they are later. Like, I don't know, people I hired to see.
Yeah. So Harry, at that point, after they sort of selected those groups, noticed the goop from one of the shot ghouls starts moving, and then they start reforming themselves.
That's disgusting.
What?
Sounds a little bit like a necromancer ghoul army, doesn't it?
Oh, cannot catch a fucking break.
Just when you thought you were done.
And they did some, these things weren't easy to kill the first time. And they have done some very, very vicious killing to do this. And now they're like, fuck you, we're just going to
respawn.
Yep.
My head.
My head.
But again, to recognize in all of this that you have to save Lord Wraith and Lara and Justine.
Because otherwise
there'll be a black vacuum. Whoever makes it out of this, like, you, if you want to still control this, they need to make it out of this.
Yeah, otherwise you could have just let fucking Malvora take over and
or
just
whatever.
Not
yeah, but to
walk
be able to have
all,
the presence of mind and be like, you know what, if we still want to be on top of this, I have an in with the Wraith have to stay on top. Listen to me. And again, for everyone to agree with him and go along with that plan, fine. But it's smart for in the moment, because a lot of the time, even when you head back in Deadbeat, when Harry in the moment just shot the corpse taker, right?
Yeah.
It's like these split second decisions where Harry can just like literally see the forest for the trees. He can see the whole battle plan. He can see
the big
picture, future 5 steps ahead and be like, you know what? Next week's gonna fucking suck if we let the king die. And Lara doesn't have her puppet anymore. And even if all three of them make it out, if they don't make it out as king and queen, well, king and...
Yeah, whatever.
Regent.
Hand up the king's
puppeteer.
Butt. Yeah. But yeah, exactly, right? Yeah. He's like, because... And that's the thing, because it's not even just because he's... It's Lara likes that plan. Right? It's not like Lara's like, oh, I'm gonna go for peace because I like working with Harry.
Yeah,
Lara's like, peace works for me and my plan. So Harry's like, okay, peace works for me and my plan. So, but that's just it, right? If they don't remain in power, then he loses that whole...
No more in. But the Ichor coming to life...
The in, it's that,
it's good because when...
That's scary.
Well, Vito goes back and he's like, master! And then it's just ghouls. You're like, the fuck does that have to do with anything? You were just talking to Cowl, like...
Right,
but
we
never mind.
Probably,
it all makes sense now.
Yeah, who still might be lurking in the... Because Harry may or may not have seen him in the doorway. And yeah, this is the part where it's like, stop leveling up for a second, Harry. Like... If you stopped getting more powerful, your enemies would stop getting more powerful, and you wouldn't have these reanimated fucking ghouls just...
These holy shit
sliding.
There's them. More
Well,
moments.
That's what's so terrible about it either, right? It's not even just like, oh, the bits are like close to each other. He's like, no, it doesn't fucking matter. I splattered this guy on like two opposite sides of the cavern, and the pieces are still slowly making their way back together. It's just like...
It's like such an Evil Dead moment.
So, yeah. It's not even just like, oh, it's, you know, severed, dismembered. They can't... No, you don't have to reach it. They will... Ugh. Gross, like he says, and they might do something even more disgusting. We'll just all puke ourselves to death.
Love it.
Ugh.
This concludes our episode 18.20.
It's a Catacomb Blitz. Thank you for listening. You can find us online at freeflowrambling.com and macanellis.ca. There we have links to our other podcasts, social media, and other fun tidbits. Please subscribe if you like what you're hearing, and please consider supporting us through Patreon to keep the magic alive and to see more content. We are Free Flow Rambling. Conjure by it at your own risk.